Hey, you Awakening Wonders, you've joined us for another week of sheer unadulterated truth from us here at the Stay Free Movement, part of your journey to individual awakening. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're part of that 6.5 million strong army of Awakening Wonders, we thank you. But we've got to ask you to join us in the other place. Slip over into the occultist avenue that is the place where free speech dare speak its name freely. We can't say it because of the algorithm, but you know what we're talking about. Slip on over there. Join us there because we've got stuff to talk to you about. A certain little Robert Hunter Biden has been dealing in business. You didn't know his name was Robert? Neither did we. That is the one thing this six-year-long inquiry has brought to our attention. He's not even called Hunter Biden. Can you believe that? If you're watching us on Rumble, subscribe because Rumble works a bit different to YouTube, and we need you to subscribe to us because then you'll get. Look, I can't go into all the details. In fact, it's only a matter of weeks before we shut down your wallet in an instant because WorldCoin, the dystopian new cryptocurrency, is here to stay. Thank God we've got an expert coming on here. Carol Roth, author of You Will Own Nothing, is here to talk to us about the threats to our financial freedom, your financial freedom. Pretty soon, you won't be able to defend your family, you won't be able to trade freely. You won't be able to do what you want with your own body. What's going on in this topsy-turvy world of ours? Does it take a man in double toweling to bring his best version of the truth? Does it bring our on-screen assistant, Gareth Roy? Is that what's required to bring about truth? Do you have to go to Hull, a place in the north of England, to get anywhere near truth? Do you?
Yes. Yeah.
That is what you have to do. We want to talk to you about January 6th, not just, you know, as a date,
no,
like as in between January 7th and January 5th.
Normally not much going on, really.
It's a boring day. Yeah. You don't even, it's in that sort of interim period,
yeah,
sort of around, you don't even really know what day it is, do you?
A bit depressed, usually.
It wasn't as good as I thought it would have been New Year's Eve. What a letdown.
I spent all my money in the sales.
Oh, no, I don't even need this stuff. Be Black Friday in 10 months. I've got that to look forward to. We'll be talking about more revelations, sort of complex revelations, actually. You probably saw them on Tucker from the Chief, a former chief of the Capitol Police. We're going to be getting into that in some depth later, but not on YouTube, sadly, because we cannot speak freely there, and you know how we love free speech. We've got a hell of a show coming up to you. If you're watching us on Rumble, why don't you click the red button on the bottom of your screen right now? Because then you can become a member of our locals community where you get access to all sorts of content that, I mean, some of the content's so rude, I scarcely dare think it. I scarcely dare think it in the privacy of my own cerebellum. I scarcely dare fire up my own amygdala. Now, let's have a look at the Biden family. While the Brand family is growing, the Biden family is growing yet more corrupt. And that's
the bank balances are.
Huh?
The bank balances are.
Are they?
Well,
they're growing. They're shooting through the roof.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
They got 20 million haul from Kazakhs, the Chinese and Russians. New York Post doesn't say the countries. It lists the population. Kazakhs, Chinese, Russians, Romanians, Ukrainians revealed in new bank records. Because you could just say the countries. President Biden's family and their allies bought in at least $20 million from foreign sources, including first son Hunter Biden's business associates in the countries I just listed. Some of them dying with the current commander-in-chief, the House Oversight Committee revealed Wednesday. Can you believe that they were being wined and presumably dined?
You'd hope so.
And dined.
Yeah.
You've wined me.
Yeah.
Why don't you dine me?
Right.
What's going on?
You'd think so. If you're doing these kind of deals, that you're getting a nice dinner out of it, surely.
I'd want to be dined.
Yeah.
Should we have a look at it? Have we got a mainstream report on this story? Are we looking
at
this?
So this is about the special counsel who's been brought in with these new powers.
What I've heard about this special counsel, I believe he's called David Weiss, is that he's the person that's been doing the investigation already. In fact, he's the person who engineered the plea deal. So they've got a person who's already given Hunter Biden. Now, let me know in the comments in the chats. If you're watching us over in locals now, tell us, am I right about this? David Weiss, who did the special plea deal, they're going to him, right, could you investigate a bit harder? He already did the investigation. So they say, oh, we didn't give him enough powers last time. We sort of said, investigate, but do it in an absent-minded, half-hearted way. Bit of investigating into Hunter Biden. Well, look, he's taken this money from Burisma. Oh, well, hey, wait a minute, Joe Biden joined them for dinner. Wait a second, let's have a look at the mainstream media. Explain in a bureaucratic frenzy of undeserved prestige exactly what's been going on. And I want you, as someone who scrutinises the media in a conscious way, to notice the sort of pomposity of the mainstream media. You don't get normal broadcasters turning up in their dressing gown,
no,
do you?
No.
They sort of say, like, they act as if what they're saying is super important, don't they? That's what, look at the woman. We've got coming up now some important news from Washington. You're not good enough to go to Washington. This person's important. Then the guy comes out himself and just blathers on about David Weiss. Now he's got new powers, like it's Superman when he goes back to that cafe and spins the guy around on the stool. That bit.
That's it.
It's not going to be that, though, is it? It's just going to be more bureaucracy and more balderdash. Let's have a look at the mainstream media. The bloody liars.
This is a CBS News special report. I'm Margaret Brennan in Washington. We are coming to you on the air to bring you...
Look how much of that is unnecessary. I'm Margaret. I'm on CNN. We're coming to you on the... All they're describing at that point is the...
Broadcasting. On the air? I would hope so. How do you think I'm watching this?
I'm inside your mind, right? This is a dream. You're still asleep in bed. If you put your hand down your pants, you've wet yourself. You're aroused. You're living in an alternative reality. We've been dosing you with DMT while you're asleep. In fact, that happens naturally from the pituitary gland. Like, the news is telling you stuff either that isn't true or isn't necessary.
Mm.
That's not news.
Nice summary, Brand.
Thanks, man. I do this for a job. There I am. I'm just giving you a summary. You're watching this on YouTube or Rumble. Coming up, we're going to continue with the clip now. We're live from the countryside in England. This is a television.
Announcement from the Department of Justice. Attorney General Merrick Garland is making a statement and...
Oh, let's all sit down quietly while Merrick makes his statement. And it better be good. And I've seen him already. He's one of the most boring people I've ever seen in my entire life. Just trying to remain focused on him is a supreme effort.
So that's just describing what's happening as well.
A man is going to make a statement. Gareth, I was so bored in some bits, I had to put my finger in my bottom just to say, I didn't get any pleasure from it.
Oh, what?
You know the way you do it to break up a dog fight? It was just like that. Just to keep me interested, I had to do it.
What happened immediately after you did it?
I'm afraid to say I fell in love with Merrick quite strongly. I sent Merrick a bouquet.
Where did that digit go? Immediately after?
I snipped it. I put it in a box and I sent it to Merrick. And that's the most natural thing any man can do for another.
Is making some detailed remarks that we will bring you in a moment.
Of remarks in a moment. Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
And what we know is that it has to do with President Biden's son, Hunter Biden.
It has to do with him. He's going to be using, I think, words which are formed by vibrating your larynx and using air that you breathed into your lungs, then using labial fricatives, lingual fricatives, and open vowel sounds to communicate in an agreed form of signifiers, sometimes using syntax that's reliable, but sometimes it's somewhat fudged.
Let's listen in.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. That is a greeting that means it is past midday.
I'm here today.
Here. He's not somewhere else. He's not in your mind. He's not a constellation in the stars. He's not an abstract concept. He's not a star sign of the zodiac. He's a man.
To announce the appointment.
Saying what he's saying.
Of David Weiss.
A person.
As a special counsel.
He's good. He's better than you.
Consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing.
We're not just going to employ a maniac that we've dragged off the street. We've got a convicted sex criminal, dragged him off the street. So you do it. You can't do any worse. But what's mad is while they're using all this pompous language, David Weiss has been doing this investigation for 6 years. That means before COVID, they were going, there's something going on with Hunter Biden. We should look into it. Okay, boss, give us 6 years and I'll come to you with some pretty good conclusions. The only thing they've come back with after 6 years is that he was taking money from Burisma. There's up to $20 million in payments. Joe Biden seems to have had some involvement. At least there is a paper trail that suggests that much. You've seen the same information that we've seen, and that his real name isn't Hunter at all, but Robert.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
Do you want to have a look at this timeline, Gal, of what's gone down January 6th? Right, before, a Government Accountability Office report revealed that by January the 3rd, 2021, the FBI was tracking four domestic terrorists who planned to attend the riot. 3 days later, on the day of the riot, the number of domestic terrorists tracked by the FBI grew to 18 and 19. It escalated, as our man Gal just told us. During it, former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund said the mobile federal agents were in the crowd during the insurrection in the US Capitol building on January, but he wasn't informed of their presence. So why wouldn't you tell the head of the Capitol Police? Why would you not let him testify? Whatever this is, it ain't nothing. Court documents indicate that there were FBI informants in two of the groups that organised the riot, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. So the FBI had informants in both of those groups, and it appears that we've not had clarity between the FBI and other legal organisations or law enforcement organisations. While Sund was begging congressional leaders to greenlight assistance from the National Guard, who were within eyesight of the Capitol, they took so long to arrive that the New Jersey State Police beat them to it, as well as some of the cast of Jersey Shore and three Sopranos. Christopher, some of them guys that were called Pussy, they all got there first. And then afterwards, in the aftermath of the Capitol riot, lawmakers began to schedule hearings on the security failures while the fever grew to launch a snap impeachment of the outgoing president. I fought to testify, Sun said, but they didn't want me to testify in the Senate hearings. I'm beginning to believe that there's at least as much evidence that Joe Biden should be indicted as Donald Trump. Who do you think we should indict? Trump or Biden? Now, it seems that what we're creating is a centralized, globalist, authoritative, corporatized, digital dystopia. Is the cashless society a step forward for civilization or just another means for government control? We used to talk a lot about the WEF and Klaus Schwab, or I wouldn't like to pry, until Michael Schellenberger, our friend in the fight for free speech, said that we had become so effective that the WEF had become somewhat discredited through the ongoing scrutiny. Scrutiny will never receive in the mainstream media, who can't get down on their knees quick enough to worship and glug at the altar of Klaus Schwab. Ugh. Yeah, sorry about that, mate. Now we are being joined by Carol Roth, journalist and author of the best-selling book You Will Own Nothing. Of course, that titular moniker derived from the famous phrase, you will own nothing, and by God, you will be happy. And Carol, I'll tell you now, I'm happy to meet you. I'm happy to own your redacted book. Thanks for joining us. Do you think that this cashless society that's being proposed is just another stinking, dirty, saucy little way of creating a dystopia, or is it for the benefit of ordinary folk like you and I? Not that I'd say that you're ordinary, not with that natural root lift.
The hair is part of the big hair, small government. We call it the laissez-faire community. So I appreciate that you brought that up. Yes, I do think, as you noted, Russell, in your previous segment, that anything that is cashless, it is really for humanity. It's for the elderly. It is for the children. It is for the good of the poor. That is what the bankers care about. That is what the global elite care about. They just want to help us out and do what is good for us and our convenience and our best interests. Of course not. Obviously, going to a cashless society is something that they want to do. One, because they feel like they are losing control over money with so much interest in decentralized currency like cryptocurrency. They are desperate because they have taken on so much debt and they see that the financial stakes are shifting. And they have seen through COVID that there are opportunities to gain more control by marrying money and social credit. And not only do they have the technology to be able to do this at scale, but it's proven that the population will go along with this. You had moms and aunts who turned in their loved ones for not having vaccines and not wearing masks and whatnot. So when you have a society that will go along with this technical collection of information, as well as the means to further centralize the currency, why wouldn't they seek that opportunity for more power and control?
You are getting a lot of love in the chat. I'll tell you that, Carol. People are really impressed not only by your hair, but that is 50% of the traffic, but also by your insights into the approach to a world global currency that is plainly being engineered, yes, as you've pointed out, to undermine and destabilize existing decentralized currency models like Bitcoin, etc., all of which, as you point out, were heavily criticized prior to them being under government control, which of course we suspected to be the case long before it happened. Now, to further investigate the potential power and misuse of that power that a centralized government-controlled currency could augur, I will say simply these words. Trucky, trucky, do you think those Canadian truckers were needlessly maligned, persecuted and controlled? And do you think that the methods that were used to control them and curtail their protests would be used on a more global scale, Carol? And I ask you that as a question.
Well, I appreciate the question. And if you think about social credit and what it comes after from a financial standpoint, it comes after your social standing, which is your access and your opportunity, your ways that you can make money. It comes after your job and it comes after your actual assets. So in this particular case, as I talk about in the book with the trucker convoy, it was some of all of the above, but particularly they came after the assets. Are you reading along with me, Russell?
I don't believe a word you're saying. I have read this book from cover to cover. It's full of advice about how to cultivate a natural looking root lift, how to have a lot of volume in your hair. Then there's a lot of swear words. The phrase mum and pop cottage business appears, which is probably some sort of euphemism, I imagine, Carol.
Yeah. So anyway, in terms of it, it is, by the way, a euphemism. But in reality, with the trucker convoy, yes, they have come after their actual assets. And what was particularly startling about that was sort of the cross-border nature of how this went down. Right. It was the Canadian government who said, these people are a threat and we have to do something. And so a bunch of people first went to GoFundMe in the United States and said, we're going to do a GoFundMe, a fundraiser for these people. The Canadian government then said to GoFundMe, who's in the United States, you need to shut that down. And they complied with a government that wasn't their own. Then you had individual hackers that came to the equation when they moved to a different platform, and they leaked the names of all the people who had participated, saying, you are just as bad as, by the way, tying into what you're talking about, the January 6th insurrectionists. And so they meant to shame those people and hurt them with social credit as well. And then you had the actual freezing of the assets. And so these are all means of control meant to hurt you from a freedom standpoint, but including your financial freedom. Because if you can't earn a living, if you don't have access to your money that you earned, how are you supposed to live, Russell?
I don't know how I'm going to do it, Carol. I just don't. Lady Pamela Jane says in our locals chat, one of our awakened wonders, I sent a donation and they sent my donations back. What's deeply curious to me and worrying is that indeed, if you have an international agenda executed undemocratically, as you just explained with the defunding and the attacks on GoFundMe, that's clear evidence of the kind of globalism that a government-controlled world coin would facilitate, or at least a cryptocurrency that was collaboratively engineered, owned, controlled by the government. So we shouldn't be marching face first into this. Carol, is it true that world coin tokens, and we've got a story about this, that's our Here's the News story that we're going to be looking at in depth later on, so do stay for that, everybody. Is it true that world coin used biometrics, took biometric information in exchange for payment, almost like a kind of sex industry for the genes bought with crypto dollars? I can't be right, can I?
You can. It's so weird that you said that, because that was the first thing that popped into my head was digital prostitution. And I wasn't sure if that was an appropriate phrase, but you have now just confirmed that for me, Russell. So thank you for doing that. You know, WorldCoin, which sounds like it is government backed, is actually backed by big tech, which in many cases, the individual companies act as de facto governments, right? They have as many users, they have huge balance sheets, and they have massive infringements on our rights that we're not protected against. I went to the WorldCoin website, and I don't know if this is intentional. This is not meant to be a direct crack at them. This is just my interpretation. Maybe hit the allegedly button. So my interpretation of this. So if you think about what is written on their website, they keep using the words human. They want a more human economic system. They're building a more human access to the global economy. They say that they are trying to become, quote, the world's largest human identity and financial network, which sounds incredibly frightening. Why do we need an identity network, let alone a financial network, giving ownership to everyone? Well, we want individual ownership, but, you know, collective ownership sounds a lot like communism. And so the language in and of itself, I think, warrants a big, giant neon sign. The fact that they're now using biometrics and that they're going to poor countries and promising them money in exchange for their biometric data. You know, in this particular case, they're scanning their irises and they want to use that on their human identity network is incredibly frightening and something that really shows why we need to protect our rights in the digital sphere and treat these companies as if they were the de facto governments, like they're acting as they are.
If you don't protect your own digital sphere, who the hell will? We've got some wonderful comments here, Carol. Miles Driver says, this is a transhumanist agenda. Some people are saying they're going to hide their digi dollars straight under their mattress. Purple Revolution says, prove you're a human. Wild Bird Chatter says, I am so out on PayPal. And Sensitive Hearts 25 asks, says, my question to you, Carol, is how can we fight back against the cashless society if it's going to further impecuniate already poor folks? She didn't say impecuniate. I added that.
Yeah, no, I think impecuniate is an important thing to be thinking about. We have so many different threats that are coming at us, you know, from social credit, from potential CBDCs, just the base devaluation of our dollar and so on and so forth, that my, you know, disclaimer, this, I'm not a financial advisor, but my base, non-financial advice to you is that you need to be thinking about if your medium of exchange or your store of value is cut off for some period of time, what are you going to do about it? And I know, Russell, probably sounds like I'm a prepper, but I would say that people who are preppers, not that there's anything wrong with that, live this lifestyle every day. It's different to be prepared. It's more like thinking about your house potentially burning down and having an escape route and buying some insurance. So do you have some sort of an alternate medium of exchange, whether it's precious metals? I'm not particularly a cryptocurrency person, but I know there are people who are. Do you have other things that you can barter with in your community? Because if this goes into effect, there is going to be a period of time where there is going to be utter chaos. And whether it's intentional that they turn off access to your money because you've done something wrong, like the truckers, or like Gareth was saying earlier in the show, maybe there's a cyber attack or some sort of technological breakdown and you just don't have access to your money because this is creating too big to fail on an epic level that we've never seen before. You need to think through, how am I going to do this and have that plan, so that you can be unburdened and go through your life and continue to, to enjoy every day as you should and not be panicked about this, but know that you have the plan in place and that you've started building up those reserves, that if something were to happen, that you could manage through that period of chaos, because it would be absolute chaos for us.
Carol, you're right. We've got to prep ourselves like it's 1999. We should start declaring our individual and community independence from these systems of control, creating new confederacies where we will trade with our own currencies, where we will refuse to pay our taxes or repay our debts, where we will revolt on a global scale against globalism, demanding independent, autonomous, democratic communities. We will rise up and create a movement against those that would tyrannize us and control us. And that's just one of the things you get if you join our locals community. Press the red button there. We're creating a revolutionary movement before your very eyes. Carol's book, I got it here. You will own nothing. Well, you will. You'll own this book for a start. That's the first thing you've got to get your hands on. It's out now. You can find out more about Carol's work at carolroth.com. And the one thing I want to know, Carol, before we glumly, sadly, and with sorrow let you go, is what the hell is that figure in a box behind you there? What is that voodoo doll? What is this tiny doppelganger? Reach for it, present it to us, tell us the truth.
This is the Carol Roth action figure that came along with my very first book, The Entrepreneur Equation. If you bought multiple copies, the better you knew me, the more copies you had to buy to get it. And I work in my regular life with a wonderful company called Integrity Toys that makes lovely fashion dolls and action figures. So I do have my own action figure, Carol Roth.
Carol, I want you to pop that in the post right away, and I want my own little mannequin dolly as well.
Can she become a part of the show? Can you put her on like next to you, and she could be a sidekick?
Carol, that is the very least we will do. There is going to be all sorts of macabre voodoo going on. Send us that thing. Carol, let's get doll.
I'm not doing that with you.
Come on, let's get our own dollies. Let's make them kiss each other, gal. Why wouldn't we? Thanks for joining us, Carol. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks so much, Russell. It's a pleasure.
On the show again, she's fantastic. What a magnificent, informative, lucid guest, and what a fine head of hair. And how often can we say that? Although both you and I, in our own sweet way, are huge. her shooting handsome fellas, I'd go so far as to say.
Why not?
Why don't we be nice about ourselves once in a while? I'm not doing that, Gareth. It's creepy, says Shrew Chimera. We will do it. By God, we shall. Hey, guess who's coming on the show tomorrow? PBD himself, not P. Diddy himself, although no. We should ask him. I did used to do a film with him once. It's Patrick Bet-David. There he is. Look at him. Look at his lovely slender thing fingers. Look at his watch. Look at him. He'll be on our show tomorrow. We'll probably ask him about money and all that stuff. He's good on Rogan. Send your questions for him, won't you? I've been really looking forward to meeting PBD.
Do you want a doll of him as well?
Send us a dolly, mate, will ya? I'll need a little dolly of you. I'm going to give it a little haircut, like you always do with dollies. And also, Dr. John Campbell. Do you love Dr. John? There he is. Look at his publicity photograph. The dog catches the eye more than he do. He needs another
I don't think he's done it professionally.
He needs his channel managed differently.
Someone's taken a screenshot.
It's like a lady. He looks surprised, but what's that? Don't you take a...
Oh, well.
I didn't agree. It's out of order, isn't it, mate? He's going to be on. Anyway, remember, Rumble us. If you're watching on Rumble right now, why don't you Rumble us? I want you to smash that Rumble button like it's 1999. Use the tip of your nose. Use the tip of your penis. Use any bodily reproductive organ you've got available to you. Labia, facial or otherwise. Just Rumble us till it... Not till it hurts, actually. Be kind to yourself, but, you know, Rumble us. Also, press the Locals button and join us in our Locals community. What's wrong with Dr. John's cat, says True Nature's Child. He probably vaccinated it. He's vaccinated it, the poor thing. It's a myocarditis. Meow! Poor little fucker. Join us again tomorrow. Not for more of the same. We'd never insult you with that, but for more of the different. Until next time, stay free. Men switch in, switch on, switch off. Men switch in, switch on, switch off. Men switch in, switch on, switch off.